kindly let the record show that all the aldermen save for Mr. Dantino, who is out of town on business tonight and did indeed advise myself and Mary McKittrick of his pressing business issues. So we're all here. We all look darn good. Before we begin the meeting, I do want to turn the floor over to Alderman Pawlak. Alderman Pawlak?
Thank you, Mayor. I addressed some of you earlier before the meeting started, but I just wanted to let everybody know who hasn't heard that former Alderman Paul Dakota had a stroke on Saturday evening. He's in intensive care at Delmar Community Hospital. The family asked to let you guys all know what has been going on in case you had heard anything. And if you could keep him in your prayers, it would greatly be appreciated. So thank you. Thanks, Mayor.
You're welcome. And I think it's only appropriate as well that we recognize that the U.S. flag and the City of Geneva and Illinois flag are at half-staff tonight for obvious reasons, and that is to convey our sympathies and sorrows for those victims of the Fort Hood shooting tragedy. And I would also add that just a few days ago we had a young man in Geneva who passed away, and we are thinking of his family and his friends who are trying to endure such an extraordinary loss. So if I could just have a moment of silence in honor of all those men and women, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Item two is to approve the Committee of the Whole minutes from October 26, which is, of course, the consent agenda.
So move. Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Item 3A, consider draft ordinance to amend Chapter 10-1-5 and 10-1-6 of the Geneva City Code.
So move. Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Are there any questions or comments for Director Unch? Alderman Flanagan.
I already made my comments to Mr. Lencioni, but I just thought I'd put my two cents in, I guess, publicly. I thought that charging $75 for maybe someone putting in a single door was a little excessive, so I would ask that staff maybe relook at that and maybe charge for a single door something like $50 or something. I mean, give it a little bit of a break. When you're doing a whole extensive project with a large number of windows, $75 doesn't seem to be as staggering, I guess, but when you're just replacing one exterior door. And I would like to make the suggestion of putting exterior doors on there rather than just doors. My comments. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Hill.
I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That means just the regular standard door does not mean a storm door. Is that correct? I mean, if somebody adds a storm door to a wooden door that's been there for 10 years, is that...
I don't believe a storm door would require a permit. So it would be the pass door, the door that's the primary door to the structure.
We've not had that in the code in the past, apparently. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
No, we've had that requirement in the past.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're attempting to clarify and actually stipulate the specific costs associated with window and door replacements from a permit cost perspective.
I agree with Alderman Flanagan that $75 seems to be a bit high for one door.
Chuck, you care to comment on this? I think the main point is that we do have administrative costs associated with the processing of a permit. That involves the permit intake. It involves the actual filing of the permit information into our computer system. It involves scheduling an inspection of the work after it's completed, the scheduling of that inspection. Now, Chuck, you care to comment any further on that?
Yeah, it includes the inspection and then coming back and logging those inspections into the computer system so we can track them. We consider it a movement. Anytime we have an inspection that's been scheduled is one movement, and based on that's what we based the reinspection fee concept on. That's at $75. So, you know, it's just manpower and the vehicles, you know, staff time and vehicles.
Mr. Hill, the floor is yours.
No, I have no further questions.
Alderman Brown?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've been asked a couple of times by people, whose responsibility is it to get the permit? Often people will hire a handyman to put in to replace the front door.
It's always the property owner's responsibility. It's their property. They're responsible for it. If something, you know, if we were to take any legal action, it would be against the property owner.
If the property owner comes in, are you in a position to check whether or not the person they're contracting with has insurance? Or what kinds of protections do property owners have on that?
I ask them to deal with local contractors. If you're not dealing with local contractors, to check the Better Business Bureau. We can't require them to have insurance. As a city, but
in many instances you can say, we know these people and we know they have insurance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you can offer that information if the person asks.
I can't make recommendations to various contractors, but I can tell them whether or not they have any problem, whether they have any legal issues with them or not, certainly.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the dais? Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Chuck, the intent of this is what? I mean, in previous, well, I'll let you answer that question because I know what you've said in the past, and perhaps you need to clarify that.
The intent of this is to codify. The attorneys felt that we needed to have it actually in the book that says we need to have permits for windows and exterior door replacements. It's always been my interpretation that the International Building Code and the International Residential Code already gave us that authority and gave us the ability to interpret that, and we didn't, and we did interpret that in outside the historic district to be only if the openings were getting larger, because that would affect structural stability of the structure, header sizes and what have you. In the district, within the district, it was for the obvious reasons, because it's in the historic district and it's an appurtenance to the structure. This nails it down, so to speak, and spells it out that it is in fact a requirement throughout town. I've changed my interpretation of that.
So what we're doing is we are taking the regulations that are in the historic district and conforming it to that citywide.
That's correct.
In that structural integrity, which was outside of the historic district, is no longer an issue. Rather, if you're going to replace a door because you don't like the way it looks, you still have to get a permit.
The structural part is no longer the sole criteria.
Okay, but if you want to change your front door because you want a six-pane door as opposed to a flat panel door, you'll need a permit to do that.
That's correct. Or if you want to go to a better insulated door, better insulated side lights, same thing with the windows. So one of the reasons we're justifying it is through the concept of it's for better energy efficiency, trying to stay in compliance with the state statutes governing energy efficiency.
I guess I don't understand the logic then of charging somebody a fee if you want them to be more efficient.
Well, we have to pay for our time. I mean,
what I'm saying is, if it doesn't involve structure and it's something as simple as replacing a door that most homeowners who are handy can do, I question why we're going to charge some $75 for something that doesn't really require your expertise.
Well, it does. I mean, how do we know that the header is adequate for it?
I understand that. No, the example that I said was, you're just changing the door because you don't like the...
If we're not part of the process, we don't know that they're doing just that.
Okay, thank you.
No, we have to be part of the process.
Thank you.
Can I just add a quick comment to that? Just kind of looking at what we're physically doing with reviewing permits citywide for windows and doors. You know, there are requirements in the code, specific building code requirements that we're addressing and confirming whether the work is in compliance with our adopted building codes or not. We've got the International Building Code. We've got the International Residential Code for one- and two-family construction. And then we've got a newer code, the International Energy Conservation Code. And our reviews are taking a look at these code requirements when these applications come in. You know, just the size of a window, in the case of a window, for emergency escape purposes, are they meeting the minimum standards for emergency escape? Does the window unit, as it's being installed, does it have screens? The windows are required to have screens. Tempered glass, there are certain windows in a structure that require tempered glass. So we're checking to make sure that window spec is being met. The amount of glazing in a room in relation to the size of the room, there are specific code requirements with respect to that. So we're checking that window size in that regard. The header installation we talked about, and there's different requirements for the header that's placed in the case of a window or a door situation based on the number of floors in the building, because those loads change. There's U factors, there's R values, but once again, are set the minimum standards that are set that we have the opportunity to check for compliance if a permit is required.
And Dick, I am fully in support of that.
Yeah.
You know, when your department and their expertise is needed, if there's elements that require the city to come and look to ensure the safety and welfare, absolutely. I guess what I'm just a little troubled is if somebody wants to change their door from a flat panel to a six panel, and all you're doing is taking off the hinge, I guess I have an issue with that. That's all.
Okay. I understand.
On the dais, any other comments? Alderman Piper?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I'm looking at this correctly, this is really almost house cleaning. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're just, and we're not talking about taking the door off a hinge. I mean, I don't think you would do that with the front of your house. You're talking about taking out the side lights, getting all the way down to the header.
That's correct.
Okay, because I'm pretty handy, and I wouldn't even attempt that. That thing that would never hang properly.
My son doesn't.
It's the $75. I mean, the cost is what it is, isn't that? That's about our lowest cost permit, isn't it?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Because, I mean, it may seem excessive, but I just don't want to kid ourselves. It's getting paid for one way or the other. If we drop it down to $35, then somewhere we're throwing $35 in to cover the cost, or $45, whatever, you know, $40. So $75, it is what it is. I mean, if that's what the cost is, I think we should just go with it and move on. Thanks.
From the dais, anyone else? I just have one comment to add. I think, Mr. Singer.
No, sir.
No comments?
No comment.
Oh, I think majority of the members of this council were probably present when the debate was had 3 or 4 years ago regarding a comprehensive review of our permit fees. You'll probably remember fondly that we had questioned our staff pretty aggressively as to whether or not their time, their expertise, and their service was actually being attributed based on their time. And I think we discovered, sadly, that it was not. And we took the strong political stance and the risk of saying, that's not right. Pay for the service being rendered. So I think today is pretty much a reflection of that, although it comes at an interesting time. So
yes.
Such is life. So there, that's done. I'm finished. Anyone else for Mr. Lencioni or Commissioner Lencioni or Director Lynch?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I guess I only have one question. John Devine, 921 Wood Avenue, Geneva, Illinois. Glad to see everybody again. Sorry I missed you last week, by the way.
I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you.
I didn't say anything. I said nothing. It was me. It was Tori.
close enough.
Hey, I get them confused all the time. I know. I hear you.
I guess I'd like just a little clarification as to what some of the surrounding communities are doing in this area. Are they charging $75, $100 for a permit to change out a door, change out a window, or all the windows in their home? And maybe a little clarification between the question that Alderman Piper had and Alderman Piper's response to Alderman Pollack's comment about changing a door. Are we talking about, for example, taking off a current existing, say, front door and replacing it with just another door? Are we talking about taking down the whole frame, side lights included, for example? So maybe we could clarify that a little bit, not only for myself, but sure, maybe some of the folks at home that are watching. And also, I'm just a little concerned in closing here that this is just another revenue generator. I'm thinking as a taxpayer, I've already paid for some of these services to begin with through my taxes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to give it a shot. First of all, I want to state for the record that the friendly amendment, I'm certain, will be accepted from Alderman Flanagan, that it should be exterior doors, not all doors.
Right.
So, secondly, with respect to door replacement, as Alderman Piper stated, if I want to rehang a door, I'll give it a shot and rehang the door. If I want to rip out the door and replace it with a new one that requires the fascia and everything else to be, then I'm going to need a permit. Third, as to what our neighbors do, I'm going to defer to Commissioner Lencioni, who has a good working relationship with the folks throughout the Fox River Valley.
I believe Batavia just started doing windows and door permits, I believe effective last January. I don't know what St. Charles' policy is on for interpretation of the code, and I don't know what their fees are. I don't know what their fees are. I'd have to ask them tomorrow and get back to you.
You can shoot that to us prior to next Monday night's council action.
Certainly.
That'd be great.
Appreciate
okay.
Because
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Mr. Devine?
Yeah, can we check a few other surrounding communities rather than just Batavia and St. Charles? I mean, would it behoove us to check Elburn, South Elgin? I think they're close enough. West Chicago.
I don't think Elburn has windows or doors.
No?
Yeah. Well, I think they... No? Was that a bad
sign? Lucky them, then.
We can check all these things. My feeling is, Chuck, you didn't send it to me. The costs are what they are. At the end of the day, whatever Batavia does, St. Charles, I just don't care. We did not... This is not part of your tax bill. This is a service being asked for that the city requires a permit for, and always has.
Well, it's not just mine in response. It's
I'm saying in general. That's yeah, I understand. What
you're saying. It's an additional fee that
right.
Any of the residents here could incur that they may not have to. The reason I'm asking, if the surrounding communities aren't charging this fee, then what's our cost structure dictating that we have to charge it?
Well, what we can easily do is we'll send out a query on our listserv, and we'll have those neighboring communities, which are a couple dozen, quite frankly. Hopefully they'll respond, but we'll provide that information to the council and anyone else who wishes to see it. So.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. Just as a quick scan, St. Charles and Batavia do have a permit requirement, and Batavia's is $75. But what I like what they say, their explanation for their fees, which they dropped them, as industry gets more sophisticated and complicated in energy conservation, you need more inspections by professionals. And I think in addition to that is the increase of how many homeowners do stuff. So I think you do, it is a good, I mean, when you watch a commercial, it seems like you could, I could just go and change my window or door, so you do need an inspection. And we did switch out our windows and doors, and even though it was the same size, it is way more complicated than it looks. So I think that it is worth the $75 inspection. It's not an income generator, but it's a safety for the homeowner and for the city and the neighbors, so the house doesn't, you know, all the pitfalls that could happen, like mold and stuff like that. So, thank you.
From the dais, Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. In relation to the mayor's comment about just changing out the door versus changing the headers and the side lights, which to me, I would certainly need a professional to do that also. But that brings to mind that perhaps changing the door alone is only changing the parts that the hinges and things like that, which doesn't seem to be that technical. But a door assembly, which would include side lights and other more technical and more complicated changes, would certainly, I think, require an inspection. I would like to offer, if it's necessary, a friendly amendment, just to add the word assembly after the word doors.
I would defer to the commissioner and the director as to whether or not the word assembly is defined differently in the IBC or the IRC. I mean, it sounds like me to be assembled on the driveway. I could hire a bunch of monks to build myself a door, and all of a sudden I got a... No disrespect to monks, of course.
No, we're going to let it for the monks.
Very good.
That's
good.
They're going to write in.
There's going to be a monk.
Trying to think how we could word it. Let me work on that between now and next week. I know what your
goal is. I think exterior doors, because I don't know that any place would sell you just a door without...
No,
a
I don't
you can
so.
Buy
I
just a slab.
An exterior door?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, you can buy just an exterior slab.
Really?
No Lowe's. You can't hang.
Let me share just a little story. It was not long ago. Please get comfortable. This will be a long
time.
I had received a half a dozen or so phone calls from residents of actually the Fourth Ward who had hired contractors to do work on the house, and the work was completed, and a couple of years passed and the work was shoddily done. But because a permit was not acquired by either the homeowner or those folks doing the work, there was no recourse that the homeowner had in concert with the city of Geneva. What their argument was, well, why the heck didn't you tell me that this guy was a bum? Well, you never got the permit. We wouldn't have told you that, but we would have said, well, our experience is that we've never worked with this contractor. However, so that's part of the challenge, too, because I guarantee you we will have people install a door or a window and come to the city and say, why didn't you stop me? And I know Mr. Lencioni deals with that pretty regularly.
And it's the quote-unquote handyman, side job guy.
Sure,
that
yeah.
They'll do it for $50 or something, and nobody checks them out, and they're gone.
It's like the siding guys after a hailstorm.
Right.
You know, pushing tin. This is a great movie, by the way. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not against the ordinance. Don't get me wrong. I was just against the one door concept as opposed to, you know, the extensive work on a lot of windows and a lot of doors or whatever. But the concept of one door for $75 kind of threw me, especially, I guess, in this economic time. It just kind of didn't sit well with me. So, and still doesn't.
Knowing... If that's the flavor of the council, knowing that, I may be able to come back with a modified...
Well, I would suggest that that is not the flavor of the council, okay. So the vote is taken.
Okay.
So I'd be, you know, not to disrespect Alderman Flanagan at all, but unless there's others who feel the same way. But
apparently not.
Anyone else in the dais? Anyone else?
Well, I was just going to, I'm sorry, thank you, Mayor. I was just going to address the, in this economic time, which I could totally respect, but truthfully, if you don't have the $75 for a permit, you are also not going to replace your door for cosmetic reasons. So, you know what I mean? We have to remember, we're not talking about somebody who needs to do something that's necessary. We're talking about somebody who wants to do something that... is
necessary?
Well, not unnecessary, but
be warped.
Well, then, do you really want to do it yourself without a permit? I mean, if your first front door got warped, you know what I mean?
Seriously.
Anyhow, I'm just saying this is not a homeowner necessity typically to replace your windows or your doors. Often it's for another reason, especially a front door slab is usually cosmetic, as you said. So that is not somebody that we're taking money for, that is losing money and they don't have it to give. Thank you.
Mr. Piper.
Thank you. Just as a final comment, my only concern with lowering that is somehow we'll end up subsidizing it somewhere else. The cost is what it is. It's not part of a tax bill. It's something that if we're going to do it, you got a service, let's pay for it. We're subsidizing too many other things that we find out about every other month of things that we undercharge for. So maybe we ought to start going with what the cost is. We're not at this for a profit, but we got to cover our costs.
Just a point of reference, we are reviewing permit costs up and down the valley throughout our profession.
Thank you.
We're in the process of doing that now.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Hill?
Point of information, Mr. Mayor. Chuck, are we still requiring a $50 a permit for a replacement of a hot water heater, which costs the customer $50? Or has that been raised?
No, the answer is $50, but it's $50. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Okay. Unless you do the door and the hot water here at the same time. That's not germane. So.
Sounds like 100 a quarter. That's right.
Maybe that should go up too, because that's going to take
a while. We really should offer our homeowners a discount anytime Valenciano shows up in the driveway. It probably scares the hell out of them. I'm sure I'll get the monks and Mr.
Here we
Winston.
Go, Ken. This is Lencioni, too.
That's right.
Difference is I know where you live.
That's true.
Guess he's not getting an apartment.
Yeah. Anyone else from the audience or the biz? Mr. Polak.
Thank you, Mayor. So for clarification, it's a $75 one-time charge. It's not per door. It's not per window.
No project.
And if you could look at some alternative wording regarding the person that replaces just a slab exterior door for cosmetic reasons only. There's no structural change. It's a matter of just putting it up. No big deal. Thank you.
Welcome. And a friendly amendment by Alderman Flanagan remains.
Yes.
Director Runch?
If I can chime in here just briefly. The one issue that I think is worth recognizing, or at least noting here, is that if it were just a simple door replacement without basically changing the hinges on the door and putting it in, and we're dealing with a historic district property, I think that is an issue of some significance from the standpoint of our standards regarding our Historic Preservation Commission reviews. So I think you can talk about door assemblies citywide, but within the historic district, a door change on a historic building that's an 1860s building that has its original door, and someone puts in a slab door, we don't know about it, and we don't have a permit or review process, I think that potentially is problematic and not consistent with our codes.
Well, wait a minute. That brings up a whole new
I don't think it brings up anything new. I think it just clarifies the fact that our discussion tonight was primarily focused on everything outside the historic district.
Right.
I mean, we're talking, you know,
okay.
That's my...
Okay. That's right. We're talking about outside the historic district. You're right. In the historic district, though, I mean, they've got to have a review for almost everything.
Exactly.
So, but I don't think Chuck would charge a guy a permit.
Any exterior change requiring a permit requires review by the Historic Preservation Commission.
That's completely different than what we're talking about here, though.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
It's just another layer. We need to be cautious as policymakers that we're endorsing that as well. I mean,
okay.
But there's an extra level of review already in place legislatively called the HPC.
Yes, within the Historic District.
Okay. So that's fine.
Point of information, a large retail hardware store that happens to be in our town does offer a number of outside all wood doors for less than $300, but that's still quite a bit compared to the $75 inspection. So.
This is where we should get rid of laptops. We've got Vogelsberg looking up stuff, right. Alderman Brown shopping. This is, you know.
This is the first
I answered a question. What do you shop for?
What do you shop for a coat for Alderman Marks to wear? Anybody else? Questions or comments?
A new attitude for mayor.
Anyone in the audience?
She said that.
We have the motion by Singer.
She said that.
Seconded by Mark. The friendly amendment is included in that. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes 6 affirmative votes, 3 negative votes. This will be carried over to the council meeting on the 16th, and we'll have additional information from Director Lunch and Commissioner Lencioni at that time. Thanks, guys. Item 3B, consider draft resolution authorizing the execution of contract with Westrum Leak Detection in the amount of $7,500 for survey of water main water loss.
So move.
Singer makes the motion and Piper seconds. Questions or comments for the water loss expert guy? Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dan, it sounds to me like this is just the beginning of an extreme expense that we might be encountering if there are extreme numbers of leaks that are to be found. The next step is to find funding to repair those leaks. Is that a correct analysis?
Well, our crews are constantly fixing leaks on the system. So the plan would be once we get the report back from the leak detection outfit, we would look at the highest volume leaks that are out there and kind of work down that list, have our crews do the work in-house. So there will be an increase in, you know, our labor and materials to make those repairs, but we'd be able to control our costs by doing it in-house.
Okay.
If we find that there's a, you know, we get a report and there's, you know, a lot more than we anticipate, then it's all a matter of how quickly we want to get those fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we were seeing as high as a million gallons plus per month that we were pumping and basically not selling to customers, which means we were losing that revenue. So the whole goal behind this is to try to narrow that down to under 10%. You know, ideally, you'd love to be at zero, but in reality, you're never going to get there. But if we can control it the best we can, that way we're, for the water that we're pumping, we're seeing the revenues come back to the city.
Yeah, I noticed in your search area that the group A, group one, which is in the red, seems to be mostly located on the east side of town. That's probably where the older mains are probably located, I would suspect. Is that a correct assumption?
I think the red is more, well, most of them are in the downtown area, west of the river. That's where we found it the last time we've done this. We anticipate one of the same because that's the oldest water main that we have. Some of the one we recently have had our guys going out looking, because we're not seeing, usually we have a water main break, you'll see the water coming out, we'll get a call either from the PD or residents will say, hey, it's wet here, it never was wet there, and we'll go investigate and we'll find that there's a leak. We weren't finding those, or the ones that we did find, we repaired, but we were still having these losses. We had our guys start looking into storm manholes to see if they saw, during a dry day, a large amount of water in there, which could be from a water main leak. We actually found a couple of large leaks down along River Lane, which is going straight to the river, so we're not seeing that water. That has shown a big decrease in our unaccounted for water, and we're hoping to find more of those to get that, you know, back in line.
Very good.
But we anticipate doing this program on a regular basis just to stay up with it, do half of the town each year or something around there so that we're continuing monitoring and trying to keep that unaccounted for loss as low as possible.
Yeah, I also noticed that the company that you contracted is not someone that we've had used previously, but you feel comfortable with the was it the Westrum Leak Detection?
Yeah.
They're in Iowa.
Right.
And apparently they've are experienced in this area.
I believe this outfit did some work for LaSalle, which Pam Broviak
is
familiar with. I think that's where we got that outfit from, actually. So.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that was from Pam. Okay. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Hill?
A question, Dan. I apologize. I didn't have a chance to call and clear it up today, but does this mean only the water mains, or does that include also the supply lines to the homes inside the Buffalo Box? If it's inside the Buffalo Box, I understand typically that's a homeowner's responsibility. That concerns me.
Well, when they do the system, they will be able to hear where these leaks are, and they'll try to pinpoint where that leak is. If it's on a service, then we would be talking to that resident. You know, there are, I'm sure, leaks on services. Our focus would be on our public mains, but we would notify residents of these. If we find something large enough, we would want to try to get that taken care of as well, so we would notify the residents at that time.
So as I understand it, if it is inside the between the Buffalo Box and the homeowner's home, that's the responsibility of the homeowner
that's
to pay for it.
Correct. That is correct.
Which can be relatively expensive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Marks, then Alderman Brown.
Dan, is this work going to start now or wait till spring?
No, they're going to start doing this now.
Okay, and then you plan on the other half of the city
right.
next fall or
right.
Spring? Okay, that's all I was.
We're actually going to shut the water off to half the city.
Okay. As long as it's done, it's half its length.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was a nice segue into my question. I've been on the council a long time, and I can remember under a previous management, a person in your position asking our indulgence to please make a budget transfer because the water loss was exceeding 10%, and he was apologizing for that and saying we've got to get at it right away. I would like in the future to see this be kept below, to get us below 10% and kept there, because this is a real direct loss of money. There's no question. The finances on this are clear. The payback on this, I think, and you know that, and that's why we ought to get at this right away. 20% is a big hit on the income.
Big hit.
Yeah. So we're pumping. That's all energy that's being wasted. We're pumping it up the tower and then draining it into the ground somewhere. This makes no sense. So please get on it. And as I say, previously there was a time when the 10% was and with an apology that they couldn't keep it below that without working hard and realizing that with the increasing cost of energy, we have to keep it below 10%. So please get right on this. Thank you. I plan on voting for it.
Anyone else in the dais? We have a motion by Singer, a second by Piper. Mr. Devine?
Wait a second.
I was going to recognize you, big guy. Mike, can you imagine the emails that would have come to my house if I hadn't recognized you?
Got that right.
Man, no. Tax facts times a million.
You got that right.
All yours, big guy.
Thank you.
Let me ask a question. Are you going to be speaking to every issue tonight?
Possibly.
Excellent.
Possibly.
I've got a 7:45 dinner engagement, so make it.
Well, you might want to postpone it.
Bring it in.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, you might be serving.
My question, if I can get to it here, I understand we had this done before. Maybe it was with a different firm, so I was wondering what the cost of that contract was, and did it cover the full city, as I understand this one does? And my follow-up question is, I believe Dan said that if there are any leaks located, that the city was going to repair them themselves. And I was wondering, was this a water leak over on South Street, and is that Burgess, the east-west street that was tore up, was that a water leak, and did the city repair that? Okay, so if the city's going to do repairs, if there are any, hopefully we'll do a little bit better job than we did on South Street.
What was wrong with South Street?
Well, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, we will.
That I know you will, Mayor, that the city repaired it, but the repair didn't take, and then we had to hire a contractor to refix it. I think that was...
was just the asphalt.
Well, maybe it was just the asphalt, but we did have to have a contract to fix the road over there, if I remember correctly.
Will Director Dinn just respond specifically to that?
Okay. Yeah. I do remember, because I go down South Street just about every day. That
Are you the guy that parks on over on 7th?
Yeah, that's I'm the guy. Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, because I got to get down South Street.
Yeah,
you know, and I had to go over that bump, you know, day after day. And it, you know,
it was a bitch.
I know, it was.
Okay, I'm sure I'll hear from the monks and the people.
It was aggravating.
So, okay.
Here go the tires.
And then I'm going to respond to Mr. Devine's. Actually, let me respond first. The previous contract is not germane. Secondly, this is not for the entire city. It's only for a section. And the work being done by the city is an effective way for us to save the taxpayers some money. So, Mr. Dinges, regarding South Street.
In regards to South Street, what happened there, we did have a water main break that our crews fixed when they turned the water back on. Another section just south of that leak blew another hole in the main, so our crews had to make another repair on the water main itself. Our crews did all that work. The work that was contracted out was a contractor do the pavement patch. We were originally going to have our street crews do that work, but the patch got too large for our crews to be able to handle. That's why it took a little longer in order to get bids and all that stuff to get a contractor in here to make that patch. We also don't patch it right away just to allow some settling to happen so we don't have to come back and redo the patch.
Makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, for the record.
If you want it for the record, you have to join us at the microphone.
In response to your answer.
Don't speak until you've arrived. This is very exciting.
Yeah, in response.
It adds to the titillation and, you know, just oof.
In response to the answer that you gave to my question, I was incorrect in my statement that this contract doesn't cover the whole city?
Correct.
What portion of the city does it? Because I thought...
One half.
I thought Alderman Marks asked if the other half was going to be done in the spring. So we got an east side, a west side.
Right, we'll recontract for that. We'll rebid for that other service.
Okay, so this is only half.
Correct.
And this is the east half?
Correct. Primarily the east.
In response to...
Apparently, time for my medication. Someone's phone or something is acting up, so...
Well, we did have a similar service done once before.
Sure.
Okay. Half the city, all the city, and what was the expense with that contract?
That's not germane to tonight's discussion. That was work that was done before. We can dig it up for you, but we're not going to waste time here on the floor to debate.
Yeah, well, I think it is germane to this.
I think it's absolutely not germane unless the council wishes to overrule me.
Okay. And well, we'll see what the council has to say.
We'll see.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And just for the record, ladies and gentlemen, it's evidenced again that despite somebody thinking shoddy work is being done by the city, that was not shoddy work on Burgess, Mr. Devine. That was good work, effective use of taxpayer dollars, and now you've been clarified. I certainly interpret it as such. Okay, item 3B. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3C, consider draft resolution authorizing execution of contract with Skirmont Mechanical in the amount of $8,256 for the installation of effluent flow meter at the wastewater treatment plant.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Mr. Hill. We have Mr. Price with us tonight, which is very exciting. Questions for Mr. Price or Mr. Dinges?
I don't have a
question. Oh, Dorothy, do you want another question or statement?
Just a comment. I really like the way you presented this because you actually gave us the three quotes and put it into the packet, so it was very good. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I want to just jump on the bandwagon. Well said, Alderman Flanagan.
I don't think the television viewing audience has ever seen Mr. Price, have they? You know what Alderman Piper said earlier? You're a better looking person than you are on TV, man. Isn't that what you said, Bob?
Well, you know, he's like that, man. You never really see him.
We have a motion by a B. Who's the B? Brown. A second by Hill. All in favor of item 3C, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3D, consider budget amendment in the amount of $57,500 from the fund reserves to various other fund accounts. Those accounts are listed, of course, in your packet.
So moved.
Second.
Vogelsberg makes the motion and Hill makes the second. Questions or comments for the city administrator?
I need the paper.
Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I think this requires some explanation because most of us thought that property tax wasn't applicable to the Prairie Green Fund.
Yes. This is for the portion of Prairie Green that is farmed, and when there is revenue received from any properties, then we do have to pay taxes on
it. So this comes out of the funds that we receive for the farming leases?
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Anyone else? Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by Hill. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3E, consider acceptance of the 2009 tax levy estimate. I'd like a motion to accept, and we'll have a discussion by Mr. Reese. Second motion by Piper, seconded by Hill. Mr. Reese, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that I look kind of like Jeff Price, so you.
You do, actually.
I
was in a bad HBO movie over there, man. Too
beautiful. I've been covering for him all this time. just a couple of comments about the item. On the first page, I did a summary of the tax levy estimate. The actual tax dollars go up about $32,000 this year from last year, and $16,000 of that is for the debt portion of it. So about half of it is for the actual levy beyond the tax debt. On the second page, I give you a breakdown of the tax levy calculation by category. I want to make a point out the mental health fund portion of it. We've reduced that this year by about $38,000, and let me explain why we did that. Sometime in the 90s, the mental health fund started to put aside money for a group home. So a portion of their levy every year was put aside and reserved for that group home. And they actually did that purchase of that home in 2008. So they realized that portion of the mental health fund. And throughout all the years that we've been levying for the mental health fund, the total amount of contributions for various organizations has not exceeded $140,000. So we're not reducing the tax levy to cut into that. We're kind of trimming it back for other areas of the tax levy that needed some additional dollars, and in particular, the retirement portion, which has been hard hit in the last couple of years. So we're redirecting some of the tax levy money into the retirement portion without affecting the actual disbursement that the mental health fund does. So I wanted to point that out in this. Also on the next page, I gave you a couple of graphs to show the trends in the EAV, the tax rate, and the total levy. So you can see it's kind of smoothed out the last couple of years. And the last page gives you some examples of how the tax levy would affect various sized properties. And you can see at the bottom, a house that has a market value of about $450,000 is only affected about $2. So the tax levy, unfortunately, has gone up a little bit, but it's not prohibitive in our minds. So, and we tried to redirect some of the tax levy funds where we could better use the funds. And that's pretty much the summary of what I had to say.
Questions, comments from Mr. Reese. Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Don, this is the first time that this has increased in years. It's gone down, albeit it's a negligible amount. And thank you for putting this together, because it really puts it in perspective. People see a tax rate increase and they come completely unglued, and it's a negligible amount. You're right, $2.17 is... Pretty sure they'll find more money if they look under couch cushions. So.
$2 is $2, but we tried to limit the impact.
Right. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone from the audience? We have a motion by Piper, a second by Hill. All in favor of accepting the 2009 tax levy estimate, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3F is consider approval of change to compensation plan to reclassify human resources assistant position to payroll specialist position.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Marks. Question or comments for Ms. Dawkins? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to know some of the duties that were outlined in this job description previous and were crossed out. Mm-hmm. Who's then going to assume the backup for these, I guess?
Those will either go to myself or the human resources manager. And another thing I did want to point out, the savings for this year was taking the 32 hours that we'd already reduced that position down to 20, but then you'll realize for future years that normally would be a 40-hour-a-week position with benefits, so it would be less than that. It would be part-time with no benefits. But yes, those duties do have to be assumed.
So that's what I was wondering. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Motion and a second from Hill.
Who's the M?
Marks. And Marks stands. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item G, consider authorization to confirm existing lease or enter into any lease with a maximum term of 2 years as authorized under state law for the property located at 215 Campbell Street.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Brown makes the motion and Flanagan makes the second. Questions or comments? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The property apparently has not yet been acquired.
Well, they haven't closed on it.
We have not closed on the property as of yet. It's in process.
Okay. Once it closes, it then becomes a property which is owned by the City of Geneva?
Correct.
How then does the city expect that a tax should be assessed because it's a property which is owned by the city? Does it necessitate having the city assume a tax burden?
Yes, because we would be leasing that out, so we would have to pay the property taxes on that.
Okay.
Just like we were just recently speaking about the farmed property.
Yes.
On Prairie Green, same analogy here.
Okay, and I see that you are expected to assess a monthly rate of $1,300.
That's being that is the lease fee right now in place with the existing lease.
So it's possible that that can be increased?
It's possible. Mm-hmm.
However, the lease that you are looking for is going to be a two-year lease, I presume, so that lease then would be intact at that amount.
Well, no, the existing lease at $1,300 per month is in place through next May of 2010.
I see.
So if the tenant at that point in time chose not to be there, then we would have, or to vacate the premises, then the city would have the option to lease it out to another tenant at a rate whatever we chose to charge.
What and how do you intend to use the monthly increment as fundance that is going to be brought into the city coffers? How's that $1,300 or whatever the amount might be going to be used?
To pay for the taxes, the and the maintenance on the property. Any funds that exceed those expenses for the properties, I would suggest that we try to earmark and reserve for the demolition and construction of the parking lot expenses.
See, if
we're able to do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, right now we're in a financial crunch.
Correct.
And as we discussed earlier, we're subsidizing a lot of other costs. So we need to put those funds where they're most needed. But that would be my preference, would be to put those toward that project.
I certainly would agree with that preference. I see a statement here that says a tenancy arrangement, existing or other, will ensure the expenses such as property taxes. Mm-hmm. So then the monthly rate of, say, $1,300, in my understanding, the way this is read, the way I read it, that the tenant would also be responsible for an additional amount of monies which would then be paid towards the taxes on that property.
No, we're responsible as the property owners to pay the taxes. The amount that's paid through the lease would cover those property taxes, which amount to about $6,500 a year.
Okay. And that also then, that $1,300 would be used for the maintenance and besides property tax and
Correct. Other
kinds of expenses that may occur, utilities
Correct.
And things?
Well, the tenant would be responsible for his own utilities,
Okay. But
we're responsible for the okay. maintenance of the yard.
Okay. The insurance also would be provided by the tenant.
We would be responsible for the insurance
exterior.
On the structure because Okay. We are the homeowners.
Correct. All right. Very good. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? We have a motion Can we have a second? Motion by Brown, seconded by Flanagan. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item H is consider fiscal year 2009 and 2010 mid-year goals status report for acceptance.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion and Vogelsberg makes the second. Any questions or comments for all that information? Kudos to the directors for bringing it all together, of course. We have a motion to accept. We have a second to accept. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? New business, folks. Any new business from the audience tonight? Guys,
just yawning.
Mr. Marks and Mr. Singer.
Mr. Dinge has left. Could we have an update on the leaf collection of how that's going? I mean, I know that we've had some equipment breakdown, and I think the residents need to know that.
We're still running with two machines as opposed to four.
That's what I just wondered if we had gotten back up to three yet, but we're at two.
We're hoping, and I'm not sure because I was in meetings from 8:30 throughout the whole day today, but we expected to have our third machine online tomorrow. Okay. So that was last I spoke with Dan about it, that was the goal, and that we were finishing up the current zone and would be also starting either tomorrow or Wednesday the next scheduled zone.
Okay. And we did have a crew out on Saturday.
We had a crew working late Friday and a crew out on Saturday. We offered to the employees to have two crews out there to try to catch up, but we had one out. So, because those are the ones that agreed to work on Saturday.
I understand their problem.
Anything else, Alderman Burks?
No, that is all. Thank you.
Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a reminder to the council and to those present and as well to the citizens of Geneva that this Wednesday, November 11th, we'll be celebrating Veterans Day. And the American Legion Post 75 will be celebrating that at 11 a.m. on State Street and 3rd. And then if you can find time to find your way over to the unveiling ceremony on November 11th at 1 p.m. at the Kane County Veterans Memorial Wall of Honor. And it will be there that they will be paying tribute to those Kane County citizen soldiers who gave their full devotion in defense of this country. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Thank you. Alderman Pollack and Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mayor. And just that everybody keep Alderman Dakota, former Alderman Dakota, in their prayers. That's all. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan?
I ditto that also, really. I also want to just bring to everybody's attention that our quilt was raffled off on Saturday. It was called the Lady of the Garden Quilt, and it was done and donated by the Hearts and Hands Quilt Group, part of the Prairie Star of St. Charles. So usually our friends in St. Charles donated that quilt. And the lucky winner was Janice Lucetti, so I wanted to make that a public announcement. And she was the one who was instrumental in doing the fourth and state wall, et cetera. She's very active in the Geneva High School football group that did all of that there. So it was very nice of her to have won it. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for buying tickets.
Anyone else?
Good job, Dorothy.
We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Pollack makes the motion. Marks makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?